Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
We're back on 720 WG, and I'm Steve Bertrand. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. Okay, space tourism is about to take a big step forward. Beginning this weekend, really, Richard Branson will take off on July 11th, Sunday. Jeff Bezos is taking off with the guy who's paid $28 million on July 20th. What's it going to be like? Well, let's go to an expert, Colonel Ron Guerin, retired astronaut who spent 178 days in space, flew on both the space shuttle and the Russian Soyuz spacecraft, joins us now. Colonel, welcome.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. If you were offered a seat on either of these, would you take it?
Definitely. In a heartbeat.
Really? Tell me about, I want to compare about the two first, and then we'll just talk about the future of all of this. But sure. So Branson's, and I'm no expert here, that's why you're here, but Branson's takes off on essentially like a regular airplane, and Bezos is the more traditional rocket ship. Is that correct? Can you explain that for me?
Yeah, what they both have in common is they're both suborbital, which means that they're not going to go to a speed which is fast enough for them to stay in orbit. So they'll be going about 3,000 to 4,000 miles per hour versus 17,500 miles per hour, which is what's required to go to orbit. So that's what they have in common. What they have difference is, as you pointed out, Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin spacecraft is more of a traditional rocket, but Virgin Galactic is the spaceship is carried underneath a mothership. It's taken to altitude. And then when it gets to the right altitude, it's dropped, and it's basically another aerodynamic vehicle that resembles an aircraft with a rocket engine in it that takes the spacecraft the rest of the way out of the atmosphere. And then in both cases, they fall back down to Earth. And in both cases, good chunks of the whole system is reused.
And so when they fall back down to Earth, does the Branson vehicle land like an airplane, or does it come down as a parachute? How does that happen?
Richard Branson's vehicle with Virgin Galactic comes back and lands on a runway like an airplane.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin spacecraft, the rocket part comes back and does a controlled landing with the remainder of its fuel, and then the capsule, the capsule would have already detached from the rocket, and it comes back under a parachute.
We're talking to a retired astronaut, Colonel Ron Guerin. Will we learn more from one than the other, or are they different means for the same effect? Or tell me about that.
Well, the purpose of both is space tourism, is to give people an experience of seeing our planet from the vantage point of space. In both cases, the flights that are coming up are still test flights. And so what we're learning is the aerodynamics, the performance of those vehicles, of the spacecraft and the rockets that took them there. But in both cases, the overall objective, the goal of those vehicles is space tourism.
And what's it going to be? They're going to different altitudes, right? I think it's Bezos is going a few miles higher. What will it be like at the apex of this flight?
Yeah, they're going to watch the sky turn from blue to black. They're going to see the curvature of the Earth. They're going to see how just incredibly thin the atmosphere is, and they're going to be hit with a really, really beautiful sight.
And how long will they be witnessing that sight?
Well, they'll be weightless around 5 minutes.
Okay.
But, it's going to be a great ride the whole way up and the whole way down, too.
I would imagine so, especially the Bezos one, right? Because that will take off, as we've said, like a rocket. But I would imagine the thrust would be greater on his takeoff than it would be on Richard Branson's.
I don't know what the difference in acceleration is between the two. That's what they're going to feel inside the spacecraft. I think the Virgin Galactic spacecraft is going to be a pretty thrilling ride too. So,
what am I talking about? They're both going to be incredible,
right?
And so, tell me about the future. What does this mean for space tourism? I mean, with the Bezos flight, they've got someone who has paid to be on it, paid to a charity. So, in a way, he's the first paying astronaut. But what do you envision this being like in 5, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, what I hope is that these are the first baby steps and opening up space travel to everybody. And, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of the early days of aviation. You know, back when aviation first started, it was a novelty to fly on an aircraft. Mm-hmm. Very, very few people did it. Now we don't think twice about getting on an airliner and flying anywhere in the world. I think that we're on the verge or at the dawn of a new era of space travel where we can get to the point where people are routinely flying in space. And a lot of that will be suborbital. It'll be flying from, you know, New York to Tokyo in a couple of hours, but, you know, getting out of the atmosphere en route.
We're talking talking to retired astronaut Ron Guerin here about these flights coming up. Right, and you bring up an excellent point because when you said it was a lot like the early days of aircraft, I'm thinking, yeah, but in an aircraft, you fly to a destination. In the early days, you didn't, right? In the early days, you got up and flew around in an airplane and then landed where you took off. In the future of space tourism, you're saying that we will take off from the desert in New Mexico and maybe land in Tokyo, or so we will use this as a flight.
Yeah, I think there'll be spaceports all around the world that people take off from and land at other spaceports all around the world.
How long will that be before that happens?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. I hope it's soon. I hope it's within the next 10 decade or two. It could be faster. It could be a lot longer, too. It all depends on how much, how much economic incentive there is to do such a thing.
You said you'd go up on either of these in a heartbeat. Do you miss it?
I do miss it. I miss that view. I miss the weightlessness. I miss what the view means. And it really, when you see the planet from that perspective, and this is why I'm such a big proponent of space tourism, because I think the more people that see the planet from this perspective, the better off everyone on the Earth is going to be, because it really is a unifying vision of the Earth. It's a unifying perspective. We see the true reality of our world, that it's not represented in the two-dimensional color maps of the world, you know, hanging in classrooms around the world. It's a vibrant biosphere teeming with life. It's interdependent, it's interconnected, and it's really unifying, and it really gives you the sense, it gives you the fact that we really are all in this together. It's not just a cliche.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we're dealing with the race issues and violence in this city and all of that. And not that I'm an authority or voice to be listened to, but I do feel that way. I think we need to speak more about, we need to view us as an us, not as an us and them or the people who live there or the people who live here. We got to think of us as us.
Yeah, there is no them.
Yeah.
And what the true fact is that each and every one of us is traveling through the universe together on this spaceship that we call Earth, that we had a common origin, and we have a shared future for better or worse, and it will be for the better if we could figure out how to work together and set aside our differences, just like we did in the International Space Station program. 15 nations built that space station, 15 nations that weren't the best of friends.
Ron Guerin, a retired astronaut, the colonel, you got a new book out, right? Floating in Darkness?
Right, it's out Monday. Floating in Darkness, A Journey of Evolution.
So the book's coming. Okay, so what makes you more nervous, taking off for outer space or days before a book launch?
That's a good question. probably taking off to space, because I'm really excited about this book launch. I think people are really going to like it.
Well, we look forward to it. Thanks for your time, Colonel. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.